meow with me, Dobby.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
It's Michael Dane broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. And my radio wrestling name is... What is my radio wrestling name?
Iron Hamster.
The Iron Hamster. And who do we have on the other end of the inner tubes, and what is your name, sir?
I am the Shiny Badger, Dobby Barker.
What's that mean? I don't know what that is. What does that mean?
It means that I am the proprietor of shinybadges.com, where you can get metallic lapel pins and various Bitcoin and Liberty-themed designs.
Yeah, and they sent you some cop badges, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They sent me... I make the cop block badges. They say shiny badges don't grant extra rights. And when I wrote to the factory and said, hey, do you guys make these? Can I order a custom, police badge? They're like, yes, of course. We'll send you some samples.
And they police-looking badge, yeah.
They sent me real, authentic police badges as samples.
That's weird. That's weird because, somebody irresponsible could be irresponsible with those.
Yeah, I intend to do something very responsible with them.
Which is...
I haven't decided what that is yet.
Yeah. I've actually seen badges for sale as collectibles at gun shows. It's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, it must be okay to have them, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's legal. It's probably legal to have them, but it's illegal to impersonate a police officer and do bad things. That only policemen can aggress on people while wearing a badge.
Well, I mean, impersonating a police officer isn't cool. I mean, that's threatening people. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody gave me in New Orleans, a antique New Orleans sheriff's badge. You know, it was like a star, metal star, and it had the crescent moon on it, which is the symbol of their city. They're the Crescent City.
Yeah.
And I was carrying it around in my pocket just because I thought it was cool. I would never pull it out and, try to arrest anyone or anything. But I got mugged in New York City, and the guy rifled through my pockets. I had a tiny knife with me too, and he gave the knife back, gave my wallet back, took the $7 out of my wallet. It was a polite down home Southern mugging, as mugging goes. Kind of like paying taxes. It was a polite mugging.
We're just gonna rifle through your things and take a percentage.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and he gave me my wallet back and gave me my knife back. Like, here you go, little man. I mean, this guy was 6'9", and there were 20 of his friends about 50 feet away under a tree at night, and I had that badge with me in New Orleans because someone had given it to me while I was down there for staying for a month on that trip, seeing this girl. And I almost had it in my pocket that night. I think if I'd had it in my pocket, it might have gotten me killed. I'm kind of glad I didn't have it in my pocket.
Yeah, that's interesting because that would have escalated the situation, right?
Yep. And hey, Garrett Fox was supposed to be on today, and I want to thank you for your service, Dobby Barker, for being available on no notice. You're also on tomorrow.
Yep.
I asked you, so do you want me to get someone for tomorrow then? You're like, no, man, I like doing radio. But what happened to Garrett Fox? Why isn't he here today?
Well, it's kind of serious.
Yeah.
So, when you're signing into websites and some of them have this autoplay audio where it's you're looking, you're reading an article and then suddenly you're hearing a Geico commercial or something to that effect.
You don't know which of the 12 windows you right. have open it is. Yeah.
So what you have to understand about the fiends is that we're info files. And so we always have 5 or 10 or 20 tabs open at the same time.
If you're surfing with less than 15 windows open, you're not a fiend. You're not really surfing.
Right. So, it was a bizarre combination of Fox News and the Disney Channel. Both had autoplay advertisements, which gave Garrett Fox the first recorded outbreak or incident of audio epilepsy.
Yeah.
And so he went into a verbal seizure and he's been hospitalized.
It's Ebola. It's not Ebola. It's Ebola.
It's Ebola.
Yes.
And, so we don't know if it's contagious, but you should avoid both Fox News and the Disney Channel until further notice. And so, yeah, I'm bedside with Garrett Ian. We can't put him on the radio because we don't know whether or not his gibberish is FCC approved yet.
Yes, so, he's speaking in state tongues. He's just saying,
right.
I love Obama. I want to be a Disney prince with Obama. That's what he's saying over and over and over, I think.
Vote for Goofy is the tirade he's on right
vote
now.
Vote for Goofy as vice president. Yeah. Hillary in 2016, which is actually just George Bush Sr.'s fifth term, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. It's really like a tongue seizure more than anything.
Well, but, something we found out via carrier Junebug, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because he couldn't verbalize what he needed to tell us, and so he had to send a carrier Junebug.
Junebugs are creepy and chewy looking.
Yeah, they look like candy. You know, if I ate bugs, I'd want them.
Yes, they are the dry dates of
they're
bugs.
You know, they're big and they're colorful. You know, they look like a piece of fruit, except that they're a bug.
Have you seen any of those supposed like spy drone insect pictures on the inner tubes?
I have, yeah. Or the credit card drone.
What's the credit card drone?
It's cool, man. It's a credit card. It like fits in your wallet or fits in a spy's wallet, and when it activates, it like pops up like a self-constructing mechanism off of the credit card and then flies off. And then the handheld part, the credit card that you're still holding on to, becomes the view screen and the controller of the fly that you're buzzing around with.
You know, people complain. Well, I complain. I grew up in the 60s. You know, I was born in 64, and I grew up watching the Jetsons, and we were promised flying cars, and that's kind of a common meme. Like, we were promised flying cars.
And we got flying spies.
Literally, like, all the scientists were sucked away by the government. All the money was stolen by the government. We should have, in the absence of government regulatory and stealing reality, we would have a world where everybody has a flying car, and it would cost, like, $199 at Walmart. But no, because all those resources got sucked away to make flying drones, flying robots that kill brown people and spy on everyone.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Well, you know, that's important, you know, because freedom and
isn't free.
Et cetera. Freedom is free.
Trillions of dollars a second and kills people. Yeah.
Right.
We gonna touch Israel today?
I've never touched Israel. I feel like I would contract something. But
which is, now we have to make this disclaimer every time we do an Israel bashing. Nothing against the Jews, nothing against the people of Israel. We're talking about the state, man. We're talking about the government.
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of thoughts on the subject, but they probably won't be popular thoughts.
Well, I'm just really disgusted it's a really complicated thing that goes back, you know, not necessarily Abraham had two sons. That's the common belief. But it's like, you know, basically, okay, America, Americans, gun owners, gun lovers, patriots, I'm talking to you. I went shooting yesterday. It was awesome. And I shot some dinner plates at 660 feet. That was pretty pretty fun. Wait, cool. 660 feet? Yeah. Yeah, which isn't like U.S. Army sniper distance, but it's pretty respectable. And I just had a good time. I haven't been shooting in about 9 months. It was fun. I went by myself. Went all by myself. Went out in the sticks. That's one thing I like about Wyoming, and I'm imagining Princess Hillary will probably take away these legal rights. But you can go out on state land here a lot of places and just go out and shoot. It's no problem.
Did you hear Hillary Clinton's animal farm rant?
No.
She was on like the Colbert
Report.
Hear
that she's an animal.
No. She was on like the Colbert Report or something like that. And she was talking about running a farm and all the geese and pigs and things like that. And I'm like, wow, like she just completely like internalized and spewed out most of Animal Farm as if it was a joke.
Well, was she like using it as an analogy for America and how she needs to run it?
No, it was just an absurdity.
No, I didn't hear it.
It was pretty funny. I'll see if I can find it during the break.
I thought you were saying she was talking in Soviet terms, literally, about how she wants to run America.
No, she really sounded more like Napoleon. I guess those are Soviet terms. I mean, Napoleon the pig from Animal Farm. Yeah. So what bugs me about Israel is that nobody talks about the first cause, right? And fundamentally, it's dispute over property rights. Like, there's a reason that a lot of the sort of, like, one of the symbols of the Palestinian movement is house keys. And that's because a lot of the people who are alive today still have the house keys of the property that was seized from them and made into settlements. Right. And so they're saying, look, I still have the keys to my house that you took from me. Right. So you can argue about like military tactics and who has rockets and who doesn't and what tunnels are for and all that. But the fact remains, that guy has a house that was bulldozed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Patriot Americans, like imagine, you know, if a foreign army came over here around World War II and said, all right, you're all going to go live in Alabama now. You have to stay there. You can't come out. That's basically what was done with the Palestinians in the formation of Israel. And I'm really disgusted by how much the mainstream media is being a cheerleader for the state of Israel. I mean, if you look at Hannity, like Hannity is over there, you know, and he's giving boots on the ground interviews with the prime minister. Like that's going to be any kind of, you know, anything other than one sided. Well, it's rightfully ours. It's in the Bible. It's the UN says so. It's ours. And, you know, other talk show hosts are over there, too. And so many people, like such a high percentage of the media, even a lot of the alternative media are just being cheerleaders for Israel. And it's pretty bizarre to me, man. Basically, my thing is anything that Fox News and CNN agree on, you should be very afraid of when they agree on it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially if you're listening to the Disney Channel in the background.
Okay, so June bugs. Yeah, June bugs.
What about June bugs?
I don't know.
You ever see them? They're huge. I mean, you look at pictures of them, you don't get a sense of how really like big they are.
Are they those things that fly at you in the south? No, those are palmetto bugs. Those are pretty gross and weird.
I don't know what a palmetto bug is.
It's like a cockroach that's about 5 inches long and flies and hisses at you.
This is more like a beetle. They look kind of like a scarab from like Egyptian art.
Yeah, they're kind of pretty. Well, cockroaches are not pretty, but partially because people have a reaction to them because they get into our homes. Not my home, but cockroaches are beetles, aren't they? We'll get our crackhead research team on that right away. Worms. We'll be back
after this trip
to the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair or Libertarian Paradise and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
This opening always makes me sing Garbage in my head.
The band Garbage?
Yeah, do you remember that song, This Is Not My Idea of a Good Time? Do you know that song?
No.
Just the beat is so similar. Makes that song come in my head.
That band was kind of brilliant. It was three anonymous, like unrecognizable producers. It was like Butch Vig, who produced Nirvana and a bunch of other stuff, and like two other guys who have all produced records, and they all play instruments. But they're all like, you know, schlubby middle-aged guys who can write amazing songs, but, you know, they don't want to be up front in the picture or on stage. And then they got this like hot 24-year-old lady who can really, really, really sing and kind of like, I'm assuming kind of puppet mastermind Svengali'd her and wrote all the stuff for her, but maybe they didn't. But that's what it seemed like. But it was a good moment. It was a good moment there. So Another rock star we like is Ron Paul. I'm going to play this video of Ron Paul. It's 3 minutes long. I'm going to play the whole thing. It's pretty good. Here we go.
Finding myself more distant from government involvement in general, is it healthy to think like an anarchist? Or what are your views on anarchy?
Well, I think if somebody is an anarchist and they totally believe in no government and they don't use force at the moment to go and start shooting up the government so we don't have any government, that would be wrong. But to be an anarchist and assume responsibility for yourself, I think this is a great idea. And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of very close friends of mine who think political action's terrible and worthless. Yeah. I happen to be one that believes that education is probably paramount, but political action can be very helpful. And sometimes political action, my elections and things, and galvanizing interest is a measurement of our success on our ideas. So I think this is very important. But anarchy is not harmful to me. As long as you, especially if you give up on, if you're a true libertarian, you've rejected the use of force. I don't have to worry about you. But if you don't want to, your biggest problem of being an anarchist in a government that doesn't agree with you is that, well, I want to opt out. They're going to come with guns. But, you know, we do have incidents where some people do get to opt out. And, you know, when you think about the Amish and the Mennonites, I think they get exempt and they like to just think those groups. Why couldn't all of us have that opportunity? Look, we voluntarily want to get out and we want to take care of ourselves. Either an individual should be allowed to do that and get no benefits from the government, or a group can do this. A libertarian society actually gives full permission for socialism, voluntary socialism. You know, if you want to get together, and there's been, experiments with that in our history, you can have voluntary socialism. If you go together and you agree, and we're running this community, large, small, or whatever, on a social scheme, you should be allowed to. But we should be allowed, you know, to stay out of that. But the problem is, it's so inefficient that the socialists know their system is going to fail, so they have to use the force of a government gun to take money from the people who aren't socialists in order to subsidize their program. But libertarianism gives full legal protection of anybody who wants to have voluntary socialism. But socialists never will endorse the idea of you having your personal liberty where you can take care of yourself and not ask for nothing from anybody else.
Yeah, Ron Paul. He's, a lot of people think he's too extreme and like, he's too small government. I love the guy, but I think he sounds kind of square sometimes. I think he's too big government for me.
You know what it makes me think of? It's like let's say, for example, a person had a terminal case of Ebola. And Ebola. Okay. That's epilepsy, audio epilepsy,
caused by watching the Disney Channel ads and Fox News at the same time, and CNN, or MSNBC.
Right. So Garrett Fox has this condition, but he's a young man. He's got many productive years ahead of him, and so we wanna treat him of his Ebola. But if an old man, if somebody who's sort of on their deathbed anyway catches a case, it's just you give them comfort care, right? Because they're so up in years.
You're not, in this analogy, the old person on their deathbed is not Ron Paul. It's the state, right? It's the government.
Well, I'm sort of talking about triage in medical care.
I think Ron Paul's going to outlive us, man. I really do.
He might. Yeah. But what I'm suggesting is that Ron Paul may have a terminal case of statism, and it's okay.
He really does, because it's funny because he talks like an anarchist. He talks like his
hero
Murray
Rothbard.
But what
he said was perfectly anarchist. If you're a statist and your state allows people to individually secede, you're an anarchist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But God bless him, though. There's got to be one guy. I'm glad there was one person in that clusterfuck of Congress who actually tried to play by the rules. It's pretty rare. Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo. Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Welcome to Freedom Chat here on the Freedom Fiends with the Freedom Fiends radio show with Michael W. Dean and Davi. What's your middle initial, Davi Barker?
W.
What's that stand for?
Wesley.
Really? There aren't many W middle names. I think you and I and George Bush, the younger criminal Bush, as Saddam Hussein called him, the younger criminal, the junior criminal Bush. That was it.
I used to spell my middle name with a U. Because I couldn't remember how to spell it. There's two ways to spell Wesley. There's W-E-S-L-I-E and W-E-S-L-E-Y. And I just couldn't remember which one was mine. And so I started spelling U-E-Z-L-Y just to be weird. But that was because I would put an umlaut, like the German punctuation on the U. So my middle initial was a happy face. It was Usley.
Usley. Wow. So you had more comments about... And, you know, Saddam Hussein was not a good guy, but it's just funny that he actually said something funny once. It was
I missed a segue somewhere. Why are we talking about Saddam Hussein?
Because he called George Bush, once called him, or maybe this is how it was translated in some screed, he called him the junior criminal Bush. Now, I don't know if that means, I think he thought the senior was pretty criminal too, but it was just a really funny name to call somebody, the junior criminal Bush. So you want to talk about the junior criminal Mrs. Clinton, or you want to talk about Ron Paul, our favorite government thug, or both?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Ron Paul. Something he said that I think was sort of the most important part of what he talked about was when he was asked about anarchists, he said, anarchist is a fine thing to be as long as you're willing to not use force on other people. And so he's shaving off the libertarian anarchists, right? And in doing so, he's rejecting...
He's shaving them off to put in the keep pile.
Yeah, he's putting them in the keep pile. And he says that includes, you know, personal responsibility. That includes like taking, like not wanting government help. That includes wanting your independence. And that's sort of like... the anarchist that it's safe to be. And there's this whole other category of like anarcho-communists or anarcho-socialists who are violent, and they're often like, you know, they break windows and they burn cars and they, you know, give us all a bad name. And they're completely like philosophically different, like tree. You know what I mean? It's like if you believe there should be no government because nobody should have any right to initiate force, that's one kind of anarchist.
I'd say if someone's breaking windows, they're not an anarchist because they're acting like the government.
Well, see, this is what I mean. They're saying there should be no government because everyone should have the right to initiate force.
Yeah. Yeah. And they conflate capitalism, which is good, with corporatism, which is bad. Although it's pretty rare in America or anywhere for there to be shining public big examples of true capitalism that doesn't have some corporatism in it. It's pretty hard to do business without government intervention. But, you know, playing within the rules of the system, I'd say you can still be a true capitalist. You know, keep your side of the street clean just because the state is ganking your money and stealing your labor and trying to pick winners and losers doesn't mean you're bad. You're just
a lot of reason to play the game is to protect yourself from the state. You know, it's like you're wading into a marketplace that has a mafia. And so you have to figure out how you're going to respond to it. And that may mean paying them off. Right.
I've owned a corporation. Well, I owned an LLC, which is a limited liability company, which is a I don't know if it's technically a corporation, but it's similar to a corporation. It has similar protections, and you have.
I think it's a corporation. LLC stands for Limited Liability Corporation, right?
No, I think the C stands for company. But yeah, I think it's an alternate type of It's an alternate type of protection. It's much like a corporation, but doesn't cost nearly as much to form.
So the reason I've been thinking about this recently is that I feel like there's this like youthful vigor among the sort of left anarchists that are like, we reject this system and therefore we reject everything. And they love to sow disorder and chaos and confusion and discord. And that's because they're rejecting the existing order. But then like as they sort of think about what order they would like to see in the world, what they want to actually advocate, they sort of like they fall in love with the order that they foresee in the world. And then they sort of move from wanting chaos to wanting a new order. And then further down that road you go, the closer you get to sort of libertarianism or propertarianism or something where people can live peacefully, right? Because nobody wants their windows broken and their cars set on fire.
Of course, of course. I don't understand why so many Occupy Wall Street types, and they're not all anarchists. Some of them are far leftist who want a state. But I don't understand why so many of them are anti or against the idea of gun ownership for personal, you know, for people instead of the state. Because
they haven't thought it through.
Yeah, they haven't thought it through. I mean, you know, there's that famous picture, that meme that was going around of an Occupy Wall Street type being truncheoned, you know, beat in the face and pepper sprayed and, you know, in a crowd by a cop. And the hippie, there's a balloon above the hippie that says, wants more government, and above the cop it says more government. I mean, if you're if someone's advocating for that only, you know, that citizens shouldn't have guns and only the police should, they're basically saying, you know, they want the royal knights of the 1% to be the only people able to shoot people or threaten people or coerce them or protect themselves, which is what we do.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's this weird like Marxist idea that before you can have statelessness, you had to have a dictatorship of the proletariat. And so they sort of like say there's a state now. And so we have to take over the state so that it's run for the good of the people. And then once that happens, then it just sort of gives up its power because that's what power does. When it finds out that it's not useful, it just says, oh, well, I guess I'll go home. I'll go raise corn or something. And that never happens. But because they sort of have that exception in their mind that, well, we have a state for now, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever goes the direction that they want it to go because they've given all the guns to this organization and said, okay, control yourself. Right?
Yeah. And what's wrong with giving absolute power to people who want absolute power?
Well, it corrupts absolutely. I think that's the axiom.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it does.
I mean, think about it. Like, this is the thing that really baffles me about this particular kind of economic illiteracy is they understand that monopolies are bad, right? Like, if there's an oil monopoly or a cell phone monopoly or a whatever, they understand that when there's a monopoly in the marketplace, that company has no incentive to lower prices or increase service or whatever.
Or not hit you on the head and pepper spray you.
No, not hit you on the head and pepper spray you. But then they have this exception for the government and they say, oh no, it has to be a monopoly, right? Only monopolies can provide garbage service, right?
You know, it's pretty funny to me of all the things that the state, you know, that statists come out left or right and say, well, we could reduce this to the government, but, you know, without the government, you know, the right wingers usually say, well, you know, government should be limited to important things because government doesn't do things very well. And the leftists say, we need the government to do everything to protect the little guy.
Because everything's important, so everything should be done by
yeah,
the government.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of like on The Simpsons when Homer opens up his door and everyone from the local church is standing angrily outside his door and he says, oh, I hope this isn't about Jesus. And the preacher says, Homer, everything's about Jesus except this. And they're mad at him because he's running a bordello. But looking at
imagine if I said, you know, I can make my own decisions, but I leave all of my important decisions to dice.
Yeah. dice that will shoot you.
Dice that are loaded against me.
Loaded and pointed at you. Yeah, when statists say things like, you know, what about the military? And another one that I hear commonly is, you know, well, what about garbage collection? Without the government, there'd be garbage piling on the streets. I used to live in L.A. I got out. However, L.A. is one of the most statist cities there is. Like, you know, everything is regulated. Everything is a monopoly of the government. Garbage is not a monopoly in L.A. County outside of L.A. Literally, like, I mean, you have to pick from an approved list of vendors, but they're private. And there is competition among them. So, you know, when somebody in a small town or something or anywhere says, well, you know, without me and, you know, the unions and the government pension and the paycheck and, you know, my guaranteed job performance, no matter what, you know, fortunately, you know, some of them, like in my town, do a pretty good job with it. You know, I can't complain on the service. But, you know, when somebody says you can't, you know, collect garbage without the government, they do in Los Angeles, of all places, you know.
I think the whole state of New Hampshire is like that. They brag about that a lot, that there's no state garbage in New Hampshire.
Yeah, but they're trying to muck it around and do something where it's going to be lower price, but everybody has to use this. It's like incredibly low, like almost free.
Yeah.
And but everyone has to use the same company. They're trying to do that.
Everything's free at first when the government takes over.
I know. There's just no guarantee that
healthcare is free, roads are free.
No guarantee that the dice,
military war is free.
The dice pointed at you are going to stay in the same direction. Yeah, you know, that's the thing too. When people angrily and self-righteously talk about things that should be, like the war on drugs, you know, when you talk to somebody who's like, oh, they should, I like it when they kick in those doors and take those people away for taking drugs. I wonder if those same people would feel that way if they were literally sent a bill for what it costs every year, you know, or every month, instead of amortizing it over, you know, decades and hidden costs and taxes.
No way. They would suddenly find love in their heart for the pothead. That's what would happen.
Yeah. And the same thing with war, with ongoing, you know, just constant war all over the world.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I read an article recently about Liechtenstein and Liechtenstein abolished their military. And the reason was because at the time, this was sort of right after World War II, or maybe even before World War II, they were a principality. And so the prince, you know, he was spending his own money on the military. It wasn't like he had this big sort of military industrial complex, nation state tax system to subsidize everything. He was like, he had to look at his own money and he had to look at his own like income and outcome and decide, is this worth the money? And he's like, nope, just not worth the money. I'm going to abolish the military. And Liechtenstein hasn't had a military since.
They actually have a military. I've studied Liechtenstein because before I understood liberty and the fact that, you know, when people say, if you don't love blank, get out and go to blank, you know, I still had an idea of like, there's somewhere where things will be good and different and wonderful. And Liechtenstein always appealed to me because it's a weird little country. It's like the size of San Francisco. It's one of the richest per capita countries in the world. And it had a young prince who liked rock and roll. But they have a military, but it's six people and they carry swords and do a lot of marching.
It's a ceremonial military.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Awesome.
On the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free capitalist market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. With Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless castle bunker in Liechtenstein, I think.
You have a castle now? Is it carved into the shape of a skull and coming out of a volcano?
Yes. Liechtenstein.
I guess that's North Korea, not Liechtenstein. I always imagine North Korea is a skull-shaped mountain coming out of a volcano.
The Hermit Kingdom. If you don't love America, get out. Go to Liechtenstein.
Have you seen the video, or it's not a video, it's a picture, but it's two Somalians arguing and it says, hey, if you want government, move to the United States.
Yeah. Somalia has government. Most of it's provided by the U.S. in the form of arming warlords there to do their bidding.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of fun. I just renewed my passport because it was due. It was up. And I don't want to be without one in case, you know, I have to get out. But this is kind of funny. I was reading the requirements for it. I didn't have to take an oath, but now when you get your original passport, if it's not a renewal, you have to take an oath to the U.S. Constitution. So basically, to get out, you have to say, I love this place.
You have to buy in.
You have to buy in. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, when people say, if you don't love it here, get out. To get out, you'd need a passport. But you'd have to swear your love of what you're leaving if you didn't love it in order to
I mean, the thing is, that's absurd. I mean, okay, I want a passport. I want to, like, go to Mexico and hang out with some farmers or something. Okay, now you have to swear an oath that Congress shall make no law infringing the freedom of speech. I'm like, well, I'm not a Congress. Like, there's nothing about swearing an oath to the Constitution that applies to citizens anyway. What's even in the oath?
The only congressman that has ever obeyed his oath was Ron Paul. And we like,
and that includes Jefferson and Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And Lincoln.
Oh, Jefferson. Oh, man. Washington, like, murdered war vets. He murdered the troops. He murdered Revolutionary War vets, like, 11 or 12 years after the war, because they didn't want to pay taxes that were higher than the taxes they'd fought that war for him and them over with the Whiskey Rebellion, man.
He imprisoned people for putting a maypole in their front yard. Do you know this? They were called Liberty Poles or something. And it was not like militancy. It was not tax evasion. There was no crime involved. It was just a sign of solidarity with the whiskey protesters.
Wow.
Right? It was like putting a lawn sign in front of your house saying, I'm against this tax. And you put them in prison.
Which founding father was this?
Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so you know
the general who fought a war over a beverage tax?
Yeah, yeah. So you have you have something to read there. Speaking of going places for more liberty, will you read something for me?
Yeah, what am I reading?
I sent it to you in an email. It's for the FSP.
Email? Where's the June bug?
Yes, we use carrier June bugs to send messages back and forth.
Let's see. I don't have an email from you. I have topics. I have email. I have email. My email is down. Is that the email you sent me?
Yeah, it's the email I sent you that said, my email is down. You're funny. Okay, I'm going to read this.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, 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 you go.
No,
ahead.
You go.
No, you hang up.
Oh, you go
you
ahead.
Hang up.
So here we go. The Free State Project is almost 80% of the way to reaching its goal of 20,000 people stating their intent to move to New Hampshire and exert the fullest practical effort toward the creation of a society in which the maximum role of government is the protection of an individual's right to life, liberty, and property. And, you know, full disclosure, I am one of those signers. If you are tired of the constant growth of government intrusion in your area, sign up at freestateproject.org. And I think it's one of the more interesting Move Here projects, one of the more successful ones. You know, I'm excited about it.
One of the more interesting Move Here projects, did you say?
Yeah, there's lots of Move Here projects.
Do you have one? Is there one to move to Silicon Valley? Yeah, it's called capitalism.
There is the Blue Seed Project or whatever that wants
Blue
to build
Ridge Project?
A floating.
The one on the bay. Yeah,
yeah. The building a incubator for tech companies outside Silicon Valley.
Isn't that Google?
No, it's not Google, but it is a tech company of some kind.
I thought it was Google declaring their autonomy.
Maybe.
In international waters.
They should homestead the internet and just claim it. Stick their flag in it. Nobody's stuck their flag in the internet yet.
Well, the Army Corps of Engineers, who actually had something to do with the internet, had a plan in the 60s to fill in the San Francisco Bay and just leave a narrow little stream in the middle of
parking lot.
To make more housing. Yeah.
Parking lot.
Just because you can, a scientist can do something doesn't mean they should do something. And I'm not anti-science or anti-smart people. I just think that all the best scientists work for the state, and that's really sad. Not all the best ones. I think Cody Wilson's a pretty good scientist, the guy who made the printable gun.
Yeah.
Derek Slopey, my programmer on Meowbit, and Fiend Phone. Go to fiendphone.com to help save the internet.
And worms.
And make it better. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. We got Davi Barker over there for hour two. He was here for hour one. He'll be here for hour one and two tomorrow. The sequel.
I'm an episodic co-host of the Freedom Fiends.
You are. Yeah. Yep. You're pretty darn good, and you're good at filling in a pinch, because we had Garrett Fox today, and he got Ebola, and then something happened with Dan Carlin. Tell me about Dan Carlin here on the Freedom Fiends, Davi Barker.
Yeah, I don't know. Dan Carlin's he's got a great couple of episodes or couple of shows called Hardcore History, which is about sort of, you know, the stuff they don't tell you about Rome and the stuff they don't tell you about the Ottoman Empire. And he has these like long episodes that are about these epic histories and unknown causes. And he sort of attacks the great man theory of history too, which is one of the reasons I like him so much. And then he's also got Common Sense, which is more like a current events show where he talks about sort of, you know, what they're not telling you about healthcare or what they're not telling you about Israel or what they're not, you know, same thing. And he's not a principled libertarian per se. He calls himself a prudentist, but he comes down on the side of libertarianism most of the time. And he's got this great segment where it's like time for the donation drive part of his show. And every time he like pretends that his producer has contracted this new, you know, life-threatening illness, and they're always fake. They're always like Ebola. And he says, so, you know, if you can help, you know, raise money for the medical bills, we got to get our, yeah, I don't even remember his producer's name. And there's dispute whether or not the producer even exists. But
what is Rush Limbaugh's producer, imaginary producer in his
Snurdly.
Head? Snurdly.
Snurdly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you ever see a show called on History Channel called How the States Got Their Shapes?
No.
It's
that sounds really bizarre.
It sounds really statist, but it's pretty interesting.
It was tyrants drawing on a map.
Yeah,
over teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk about, you know, they'll pick a state and do a whole episode on it and talk about how, you know, some war baron back in the day said, no, I need more of Nevada because it's got silver here. Y'all can have this and make it Utah because this part has nothing in it. Yeah, it was just stuff like that. And you know how there's weird things like towns where one side of the town is dry and you can't drink alcohol and the other side you can. And there's like a bar on the cusp of those two towns. And like, you know, the front of the bar, you can drink alcohol, and in the back of it, you can just play poker, but you can't take your drink back there, that kind of thing. Just it's kind of a comical and whimsical explanation of tyranny. Ha ha ha, tyranny.
So I just like, you know, for me, national boundaries are just chalk outlines around unprosecuted mass murder. That's what they are.
Ugh, did you make that up?
No, I didn't, but I've adopted it.
That's solid. So speaking of state-sanctioned murder, you know, Obama is always trying to take our guns away and apparently couldn't, but he said he was going to have 21 points of light or some crap like that. 20, you know, he had this 20-some point plan. Politicians always love to roll out a, you know.
Oh, point plan. Points of light sounded like you were saying he had like some sort of core of angels or something. I was like, are you talking about?
I think the points of light was actually a, you know, part of the Bush manifesto. But yeah, they always, okay. It's not bad enough to just roll out, you know, some tyranny. They have to roll out thickets of tyranny. And they always have bullet points on pieces of important paper. And, you know, Obama basically said, well, I'm very disappointed. America doesn't want sensible gun laws, but I will institute policy and suggestions. And I think one of the policies and suggestions is just if you have a gun, the cops will murder you and get away with it. And you don't even have to have a real gun or a real rifle. Go ahead and read some of this article about what happened in an Ohio Walmart.
Where do you even want to start?
Ohio man
with story.
How about with the headline?
The headline is Ohio man was carrying variable pump air rifle, quote, not a toy, when cops killed him.
Attorney general.
Says the attorney general. Yeah. And, I kind of want to know what the legal definition of a toy is. It seems to me that a rifle can be a toy. I don't know.
Yeah, this headline sounds like an update. You know, it sounds like we were wrong yesterday when we said it was a toy. It wasn't a toy. It sounds like apologism for the police. Like it
no,
wasn't.
What happened was this guy was buying an air rifle, which is like one of those they shoot BBs or
airsoft,
plastic pellets or
airsoft
something.
Airsoft
rifles.
Name. Yeah.
And he took it off the shelf. He intended to buy it.
Actually,
and
it was not an airsoft. It was a Crossman. Sorry. It was a Crossman MK-177, which is a, you know, point
the caliber. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 100. I don't know how you say caliber and stuff like that. 0.177 caliber. I guess it's 177 caliber, which are kind of like high powered BB type guns that can shoot little metal pellets. You know,
legal to sell in Ohio, evidenced by it being on the shelf in a Walmart.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, legal. I mean, you can buy rifles in Walmarts, you know, actual rifles and not pistols, but rifles and rifle ammo and pistol. No, only rifle ammo, I think. But yeah, it's something you can, you know, they're used for vermin, for pest control, you know, for killing coyote. I don't know if you kill
pigeons
a coyote
or squirrels,
but, you know,
or something like that. Yeah, I bet it would. I bet it would drive off a coyote.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the humane way to treat a coyote problem.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But they have a picture of this thing. It looks like a scary tan rifle.
Yeah, it looks like something you'd carry in Halo 2.
Yeah, it looks like an actual gun. It looks like an FN, you know, Fabrique Nationale Belgian battle rifle. You know, it's got a removable mag that looks like it would, if it had bullets, it would hold like 20. I don't know if the mag even works.
I don't think that matters.
It's got a flash suppressor. It's got a rail. It's got open sights. You know, it's got a pistol grip. You don't think what matters?
I don't think it matters that the rifle looks like a real rifle. If the
I don't
guy
think
was
it does either, because I've walked through Walmart many times carrying an actual loaded, cocked, ready to, you know, fire gun on my hip. Not a rifle, but a pistol. Apparently.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If he was buying a bag of loose oregano and they shot him for trafficking marijuana in a Walmart, that wouldn't make it okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter to me.
And you said this might be a situation of shopping while black. The young man is the dead man. Is he dead? Yeah, he was killed. He's a black guy. He kind of looks like a hipster. Kind of looks like, you know, someone that would listen to the Freedom Fiends. And he was carrying, he went to get this thing in the back of the store, you know, picked it up off the shelf, was carrying it. It's not clear if he was pointing it, you know, like holding it
Well, it is clear he says told police gun wasn't real before they shot him. And then it says that the police ordered him to get on the ground after he was shot and on the ground.
That's just training. That's just the training of murdering people that they teach cops these days. Have you seen those targets that were making the rounds for a while that some cop shops were
like
using? They looked like civilians. Yeah.
They looked like pregnant women and children on swing sets.
In their homes. Yeah. Like in their homes. Yeah. One was, you know, a pregnant woman in her home.
Yeah. They were called the No Hesitation series.
Yeah. That is
because,
sick,
you know,
man.
They were worried that officers might hesitate before shooting pregnant women
or children on swing sets. Or one was like an old lady in her bathrobe, what looked like in her basement or in her like cluttered. It kind of looked like she was a hoarder. Like, you know, when they raid the old lady to take her out of her home she owns because she doesn't keep it as clean as they'd like on the inside. It looks like it was like training for shooting little sweet old ladies who are hoarders. The sweet old lady in her bathrobe had a gun in it, but it was kind of dark. I mean, it looked like what a burglar breaking into a house at night would likely encounter, not what, you know, police supposed to be protecting people would encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looked like a frightened grandmother in her bathrobe woken up in the middle of the night. Like that's who they're training to shoot.
Listen to how insane this is. This is Sergeant Dave Darkow. I'm not really sure how to pronounce that, but he's speaking to the Dayton Daily News and he says, Crawford did not comply with the officers' commands and they acted appropriately. The response of the officers was instrumental to containing the situation and minimizing the risk to customers. So they're defending. I mean, we've conducted an investigation and we've found ourselves to have conducted no wrongdoing. So
sending the rats to guard the cheese, as the band MDC sang in a song one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, this is so, I don't even want to say this is so square. This is so tragic and horrible. And yeah, I think it's trickle down effect from Obama of just, you know, if you see anybody with anything that looks like a gun, murder them and get away with it. Get 2 weeks paid vacation. I think that's the new gun policy.
This is the application process for a vacation, right?
For police in Ohio?
For police in Ohio or wherever. You know, like there's these stories about kids getting expelled for the zero gun policy on school because they like chewed a Pop-Tart into the shape of a pistol.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, how far away are we from a, like, you know, school resource officer shooting a kid because he bit a Pop-Tart into the shape of a pistol?
Well, there was a related on this New York Daily News, there was a related article or a see also or just something on the same page that was apparently a small child this past week, like, went through the gate around the White House, like squeezed through the bars of the gate.
Oh man, terrorist.
Yeah, and they showed the response to it, and it was a gooned out Fed goon, you know, in body armor carrying a scary black rifle, you know, some AR platform rifle, you know, with a Glock on his hip and a knife on his hip, and, you know, just ready for, you know, capturing Saddam Hussein, he looked like. And, you know, it was a reaction to a kid. I did have to say, though, that those guys looked in a lot better shape than these Ohio cops. These Ohio cops look like robots in these pictures. Did you notice that? They look like, and it looks like these pictures of them, like their headshots in front of the flag with the, the background that looks like gray puffy clouds. It looks like it was taken in Walmart. Like if Walmart did portrait photography,
they might. Who knows?
Maybe,
yeah,
these
they
cops
look like
just,
yearbook photos maybe or
yeah,
something.
Maybe these cops just hang out in the Walmart all the time, like waiting for, you know, black people to shoot or people with guns or people peacefully buying,
you know,
toy guns or airsoft guns.
Walmarts in California are large enough that the state has mandated that they have free speech zones. Because
really?
They're considered large enough to be public, which means free speech must be allowed there.
Oh,
and
man.
So maybe in Ohio, Walmarts are large enough that the state has mandated that officers be stationed there.
Maybe. Wow. Tyranny, man. It doesn't end.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
But it will.
Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah, this is the Freedom Fiends. And yes, I am aware of the website problems. I'm on it. I'm going to be talking to Host Gator as soon as we're off here. I think the Fiends have basically, I got an email from them. I think we've pretty much like exceeded, they basically say unlimited server space if it doesn't cause problems with other people, but for a really reasonable price. But I think the Freedom Fiends have actually started to exceed that amount of downloads to where I'm going to have to update to a more expensive package. So,
Michael, if we could just pass net neutrality, the Freedom Fiends would be fine.
If we pass net neutrality, the Freedom Fiends would be droned. You know, that's how they get these young people. So I was going to say, if you want to donate or if you want to buy ads or if you want to buy buttons, you know, I went back up to $10 per button pack. I had a sale at $5 to where I was actually like barely breaking even with the postage. But for some reason, I was selling less at $5 per pack than $10 per pack. I think people don't value what they don't pay for, maybe, is the capitalist rule there. And speaking of capitalism, you were complaining about ads on the internet. Like, you want to see a video.
They hospitalized Garrett Fox.
Yeah, because for people just tuning in now, Garrett Fox was supposed to be the co-host today with me, and Davi stepped up. He is like that. He's part of the Liberty Mental Militia. We parachute him in. He's part of the volunteer army, the volunteer peaceful gang of gun owners that is the Freedom Fiends. Well, you're actually a knife guy, and you're not legally prevented from owning knives, but you were saying that some people, there's a radio host out there that we know who has a felony conviction and cannot legally own a gun, and he was talking about how he could legally own one of these airsoft ones. I don't know.
Well, it's not just him. I think it's any felon.
Yeah.
I think
just him. They made the rule.
It's just
for
a special provision, part of his plea bargain. Right? But no, felons. I don't know if it's all states. I think it's all states. They don't have their Second Amendment anymore. But there are sort of ways around that. And
we're not saying violent people should be able to have guns, but you know, somebody that's convicted of a pot charge or something, if it's a felony, they can never defend themselves or their family again. And there's people who say, well, that's good. They shouldn't be able to. But, you know, if you love guns like I do and you don't do drugs like I don't do drugs, you should still be against the war on drugs, because the war on drugs leads to the war on guns in every possible way.
You know where I like to go with the people who want to make the argument that felons shouldn't own a gun or felons shouldn't vote or any of these sort of people who are anti-felons' rights, is I like to point them to the book Three Felonies a Day and say, hey, look, you're just an unconvicted felon.
Yeah, everyone
is
laws.
An unconvicted felon, which means if you believe that felons have waived their right to vote, even though you didn't get caught, you shouldn't vote anymore. If you believe that felons shouldn't have the right to own a gun, even though you were not prosecuted, you're guilty of a felon, and so you should give up your guns out of principle, right?
And if you don't love the federal government, you should be against taking away guns from people convicted of nonviolent felonies, because the feds love to do that. They do that all day long. They love to find somebody with a little bit of drugs and a gun to protect their family and then turn it into 12 felonies. They'll charge people with the same crime under different names. They're so insidious with the sentencing and that kind of stuff. And like, literally, like, they're not stopping crime. They're not making people safer. They're just padding their resume so they can, you know, as a federal attorney, so they can run for governor, like the governor in Wyoming here, and, you know, eventually run for president and rule everyone.
But, I got a new knife I'm very excited about.
Yeah? What is it?
Yeah. So I found this in a KitchenAid store, but it's a folding knife, sort of like any other sort of like folding knife you'd find in a sporting goods store. But what makes it special is that it's all ceramic.
Ooh.
So it's like super sharp. I can't sharpen it. It's a one-use deal, but it holds the blade for a long time. What?
Yeah. But somebody could,
you in the front row?
But somebody could sneak those through metal detectors, couldn't they?
Yeah. The only thing on here that would be picked up by a metal detector is the sink chain that attaches it to my keychain and the bolt that holds the blade to the handle. Everything else is ceramic and would not show up in a metal detector.
Ceramic. What are the advantages of ceramic for knives from a engineering standpoint?
They're cheaper to produce. This was a $3 blade, whereas something of equal quality from a sporting goods store would probably cost me at least 20, maybe 10.
You mean something of equal quality made of metal?
Yeah. So the downside is you can't sharpen them. The upside is they are sharper longer. So they're sort of like a one-use knife.
Do they break if you drop them?
I've dropped it. It hasn't broken yet.
I mean, ceramic, I think of like dishes. Like I think it's supposed
to like carve to whittle plastic. So, I mean, it's holding itself pretty good.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. Glad we weren't cussing. See, I have a rule that you can't cuss on this show, even during the breaks. We call it the Carell rule, because there's a radio show called The Carell Show. And a bunch of years ago, the guy, you know, went to commercial, and the guy said, I want an F and F, that F and F and F and F. He was complaining about George Bush. He's a leftist.
It was Reagan.
He was a leftist. Oh, it was Reagan. Yeah, it was the day Reagan died. He said about seven Fs about Reagan. And He didn't know, like, his engineer had left the pot, which is the slider on the mixer, the potentiometer. He'd left the pot up, and it went out on air, and he lost all of his affiliates, and then it took him years to get some of them back. And so I have something on my show that I call the Carell rule, which is you don't cuss even during the breaks, because something misfired. I think we got back a minute early, or I don't know, maybe my atomic clock's off. Maybe the government knows that I don't love them, so they disabled atomic radio clock run by the government coming to my house somehow selectively. I don't know.
Or maybe we've documented a distortion in the space-time continuum.
There you go. Now, how would that affect convicted felons who want to own a black powder rifle?
Well, if the distortion was great enough, it could be far enough back or far enough forward to where the law was changed.
I'm waiting for that distortion in the space-time continuum that'll just put a big dome between myself and my friends, between us and the state. And, you know, I think if we stay on radio long enough, those aliens in that one habitable planet near Alpha Centauri may hear the show and go, we've been listening to we've been monitoring transmissions from this planet for 100 years. Finally, we've heard intelligent life, and they'll come down here. Or they'll email us their tyranny protection software.
It's an impenetrable secession dome.
It'll just be a 500 foot dome of no state of Somalia that travels with you.
Do you watch? Have you ever watched Under the Dome? It's a show about a small Midwestern town that just suddenly has a dome over it.
That's a Stephen King story.
Yeah, it is.
I saw some of it. Yeah.
It's pretty good. And, you know, actually, they nuked it and it didn't do anything. Yeah, so, you know, they've effectively seceded.
The Simpsons movie was based on that, too. Did you see the Simpsons movie?
Did they come up with that themselves, or did they base that on the Stephen King book?
I think they based it on the Stephen King book. But I like that in the Simpsons movie, the enemy is a three-letter government agency. It's the EPA.
Yeah.
Like, basically, the EPA decided that, like, Springfield is too stinky, and they put a dome over it to protect the rest of the world. But they have, you know, the EPA has goon squads with scary black rifles and, you know, Glocks on hip holsters in that. So it's pretty accurate.
You know, if you combined that dome with the bubble shield that Glenda the Good Witch's Fortress has in the Wizard of Oz books that only lets people through who are pure of heart, you would have a perfect secessionist project.
Yeah. You know, so back to the can a convicted felon, neither of us are, can a convicted felon own?
I'm an unconvicted felon.
Well, everyone's an unconvicted felon because, as that book, Three Felonies a Day, points out, on the average, people commit three felonies a day without even knowing it because there's that many nanny laws in the world. But
I think unindicted is a better word. That's a legal term people throw
unindicted
around.
Unindicted co-conspirators.
Yeah, I'm an unindicted felon.
I think we should call our audience, our listening audience, the unindicted co-conspirators. The unindicted. Yeah. So black powder rifles are federally legal, sort of. I went to ATF.gov to look it up. And what did you ask me?
I said it's not just ATF anymore now. Now it's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Guns, Knives, and Explosives, and Baby Needs, right?
Baby Needs, yeah. Yeah, they want to regulate everything.
They regulate all tobacco, you know, baby formula.
No, you said, are you looking at it through a VPN? I said, no. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I said, are you looking at it through a VPN? You said, no. I said, well, now they know you're interested in alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, so you're probably on a list.
I know. That's kind of weird, too. I've actually thought about that. Like, you know, when I'm traveling somewhere and want to know what the gun laws are, and I'm Googling it. And when you're doing that, I'm no attorney, but you probably should look at the state website rather than just looking at, like, Yahoo Answers or something where, you know, anybody who thinks they know something can post the answer. You know, you want to go to
this is pretty funny. Their website, they have five slides at the top: firearms, explosives, alcohol and tobacco, libraries, and arson.
Libraries?
So all of these libraries is on the list. It's the ATFB. It's alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and books are now regulated.
What? Why? Oh, it's here. They have Yeah, they just kind of put this together weird. Like, it's their library. But it does look like, like they regulate firearms, explosives, arson, alcohol, tobacco, and libraries. That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that sounds like something, you know, a news item from the not-too-distant future or The Onion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always thought it was weird that tobacco was in there, or alcohol. I mean, what do any of these things have to do with each other? Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, explosives.
Like, look at, they have a most wanted on there. Oh, when I try to leave this site, it says, we welcome your feedback. No thanks. Yes, I'll give, I don't want to click anything on this, but their most wanted is a guy who's wanted for being an armed career criminal in possession of firearms. Like, that's, a lot of federal crimes are like being A, while possessing B, you know.
Yeah, I call them contingency crimes.
I think that's what they're called.
Oh, I thought I made up that
well,
word.
Well, that's the, yeah. Yeah, and you know, this guy's a scary guy. He's an armed career criminal, although does that mean he's robbing banks, or does that mean he's been armed while committing?
It means he has crimes? Arms. He's not an amputee.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, the really common one is, you know, possession of drugs while possessing a gun, which, as we said in the first hour, anyone who's against that would be lovingly in favor of it if they actually got a bill for it every month of what it costs you for real, instead of them hiding all those charges of the police industrial complex in your taxes and your children's taxes and your grandchildren's taxes and all the fees. And devaluing the dollar is a big way the government steals money. I mean, isn't a dollar worth like a 20th of what it was?
Oh, no, it's like 2%. A dollar's worth like 2 cents compared to what it was before it was a fiat currency.
So a 45th, roughly.
So yeah, every time you spend a dollar, just keep in mind that you're paying a 98% fiat tax.
Yeah, and that's what you're paying for the war on drugs with, and everything else that when you vote and say, we got to get rid of them hippies, we got to throw them in prison, you're paying for that. Your dollar, if the war on drugs was ended, your dollar would be worth about $5.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. If not more, if the, you know, if you're still using dollars, I probably wouldn't be,
because you're using Bitcoin and silver and knives.
This was an interesting argument. I don't want to see this, but someone argued that if Bitcoin was accepted for tax money and the government started using a Bitcoin standard, or was forced to in the future through sort of market pressures, that it would mean a complete restructuring of taxes, because people would actually be able to track where their money went. So it would be like, ooh, I send them Bitcoin and then I get to watch where that money goes. And then I know how much of my money went to what agency, because it's all on the blockchain. And that's a half measure in my mind. That doesn't strike me as a solution to like keeping government accountable or anything. But it would be interesting if I could watch where all my dollars went and filtered into the bureaucratic system, you know.
What's that law? Not Goodwin's law. That's the law that in every argument people eventually call each other Hitler. What's the law about good money drives out bad?
That's, oh man, I should know that. It's it begins with a G too, I think.
Yeah, I actually had that in action without thinking about it at Porkfest, because I went to Porkfest with 20 1-ounce silver dollars. You know, they were worth, I don't know, $20 each, and I was like, you know, I've had silver before, and somebody paid me for a consulting job in silver, and I was like, wow, this is right before Porkfest. I can take it to Porkfest and I can spend it. We did our live read for Free State Project, right?
Yeah, we did. Okay. We can do it again if you want.
Well, this is sort of one anyway. So, you know, I had all this silver. I was like, man, vendors take silver there. I could buy hot dogs with silver. This will be so cool. I can buy.
Why would I do that? I have all this paper I could get rid of.
I know. Didn't I sell some of it to you? I sold it to somebody for like $20 bills. Yeah.
Yeah, Gresham's law is what, yeah, is that's what that is. Which bad is money kinda drives out good money.
Which is kind of weird, because, you know, most people would say silver is good money and paper, you know, U.S. Federal Reserve notes are bad money. And I agree.
But that's why you keep it. You keep the good money.
Okay.
That's the point. You, as the decider of what money you're going to spend. Like, if I walked into a store and they said, well, we take dollars and lint, I'd be like, well, I got plenty of lint. Right?
Yeah, this is true economics. You don't hear a lot of true economics on the radio. I mean, you know, some guys are good. That guy that tells you to cut up your credit cards, I did that before I ever heard of him.
And you know what I did? I cut up my credit cards and made guitar picks out of them.
Did you know guitar picks are highly flammable? Do you ever light a guitar pick?
No.
You know what else is highly flammable? It's really strange. Is non-dairy creamer. I don't know why.
Really?
Not that I go around burning stuff, but I used to hang out in bars and, you know, bored drunk people would pull out things and light them and get kicked out of the bar, like guitar picks and non-dairy creamer. I know you're going to try this after the show.
Absolutely. I think you should try it on the show. Citrus oil is one of my favorite things to burn.
Oh, because it smells good when it burns. Yeah.
But, well, like if you take an orange peel and you squeeze it over an open fire, it'll spit all these little fireballs out.
Yeah. And the thing about me getting rid of the silver for paper money at Porkfest was carrying around 20 pieces of silver with everything else, your gun, your camera, whatever you're carrying at a festival where you're, you know, not back at the hotel all day, where you have to bring everything for the whole day. It's heavy, man. It weighs you down. You start to notice it.
It's an economic cost. You're burning calories to carry that stuff around. Calories are things you have to pay for.
Yeah. So speaking of, you pay in energy and tiredness. So speaking of economic costs, did you ever finish the thing about complaining about ads on videos on the internet? And I said, you should love ads. As a capitalist, you should love ads.
Right. And I said, no, my intolerance of ads is a market signal. I am not willing. You know, good ads drive out bad ads. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, you know what I've heard about, too, is that a lot of the stuff that big media agencies do on media they sell, like making you watch an ad on a DVD or on, you know, a Netflix type site, or make you watch the beginning credits or the end credits, or make you watch previews for other movies, that drives piracy, because pirates that upload the stuff, like these days people have competitions, like the pirates under these anonymous names like Pirate 246, they have fights, and like not fights but competitions over who can. When something comes out, you win if you are the quickest person to upload it, remove all the ads, remove all the menus, just make the video and make it look as good as possible with the lowest file size. That's how that's how you be cool in that club.
I mean, here's the thing. Like I subscribe to The Walking Dead, right? I pay for it. I watch it. I want to support what they're doing. I want them to have my money and I want it legitimately. But the pirates can get it to me first.
Yeah.
Right.
That's another thing too. Like having to wait till the end of the season. And Netflix figured this out, and they make original programming. It's really good. Like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. And they put up a whole season at once. It's awesome.
Yeah. The other thing is intellectual property. So I understand as a capitalist, the ads are what I'm watching to pay for what I want to watch. I'm watching something I don't want to see to pay for what I do want to see. And that company made some money off that advertising. That's why it's free to me, right? Because I'm the product to them. But the other thing is, it's intellectual property. The video that I'm watching that I want to watch but can't, is an episode of the Colbert Report featuring Hillary Clinton, where she said some weird thing about ducks and geese and farms and
something. They're breaking the social contract. They need to make the ads so entertaining you'll have to watch them. You'll want to watch them.
The social contract.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Barker, this is Michael Dean.
Present.
Yes, you are Dobby Barker. So, we were looking for something to do in the last segment here, some redemption in the third act, and we're going to just give you an English lesson instead.
So, before, the teaching hospital.
Before we get to that, there's two things I want to say about English and language. One is, one of my favorite quotes about English, or about language, is the difference between a dialect and an army, or a dialect and a language, is a language is a dialect with an army. Because you know, it's hard to define what the difference is between a full-fledged language and a dialect, but anybody that's got an army can claim and get away with saying that their dialect is a language. The other thing is, we're talking about the your problem with finding a headline. What was your problem with, or finding the meat of the story on the fly quickly to discuss? What was the problem?
So this is a rule in journalism, although it's good writing anyway that you do it. And I picked this up when I used to write for examiner.com. And it's the idea that the most important information you should lead with, and then as you go through, as you sort of fill out the story, you should move toward the less important information so that the reader who doesn't finish reading has gotten the most important information, so that the editor who wants to cut off the end of your article doesn't have to spend a lot of time rearranging the information. And I just feel like nobody's writing this way anymore. Like, yeah. I read a headline. Okay, so new leaker disclosing U.S. secrets, governments concludes. And I just want his name. I want to know what are the search terms to find more articles about this. And he's not here. Like, I have to read like a full like 6, 7, 8 paragraphs into the story before I find out anything relevant to what I want to know.
Before you find out they don't know his name yet.
Before I find out they don't know his name. Yeah.
But they don't even really clearly say that. What it probably seems to be, from what I can gather, is new things are being leaked, Edward Snowden style, that were after Edward Snowden quit working for the government. So it has to be somebody new, but they don't know it. But they really didn't write the article well, because you can't really tell the case.
You know what it
is?
It's that link bait has taken over journalism. What they've done.
Explain link bait.
It's they're instead of giving me the information I want, they're cramming their opening paragraphs with SEO terms, right? So Edward Snowden is in there, NSA is in there, Glenn Greenwald is in there. Those things have nothing to do with this story. They're referring to previous stories that already Google well.
Which is funny because you know, the guy that they're basing their link baiting off on here, Glenn Greenwald, who broke the Snowden link, is a real journalist who can really write a really well-constructed story.
And he does this. He writes properly.
And he does it on the internet and gets way more hits than these link bait sites. But,
right.
You know, sometimes I get stuff these days.
And this is CNN. CNN is a link bait site.
Sometimes I get stuff, like, in the mail or on the internet. Like, lately I've been getting all this junk mail, like really like only junk mail, pretty much just junk mail.
Well, that's what the post office is now. Yeah. They're a trash delivery service.
Trash. Without the government, who would deliver the trash? They always say who would pick up the trash. No, it's who would deliver the trash. But I constantly get these things that make they're designed to make you open them. And the way they make you open them is by looking like a Dunning letter from a bill collection agency or the government. And more often it's the government. Like, they use that font. The government uses all capital letters. They have a Washington DC address and you're like,
yeah, and they have a rubber stamp in red that says critical information inside. Yeah, and you're like, you oh no, I'm like, being threatened. I'm and it's like, oh no, audited. I'm just offering you a credit card.
Yeah. Or you know, a local used car dealership in Casper, Wyoming.
It's nasty.
Yeah, it's nasty. And like, literally, I've gotten to the point where I'll say out loud to my wife, I'll look at this stuff and I'll say, doesn't anybody work for a living anymore? I'll even say it if I'm alone. I just think, doesn't anybody work for a living anymore? And I feel like that's that's what a lot of so-called journalism is. And, you know, I guess the market should take care of it to where, you know, eventually, I mean, Google tries to make it so the link bait stuff doesn't come up at the top. But when it's something like CNN, you know, major billion-dollar company, communist news network, you'd think that they'd, you know, that's the thing too. Like it used to be that the state run or the state mouthpiece media like Fox and CNN, they used to at least approximate journalism in their lives. Like they used to look like journalism. Now it just looks like link bait.
Yeah, so avoid CNN, Fox News, all of these sort of MSLSD, because you might catch Ebola or ear Ebola. And you might catch audio epilepsy.
And I'd say just go to the Freedom Fiends instead, but the site's down because I have to go.
We'll
pay
filter the internet
extra
for you.
Money. So go to lrn.fm or gcnlive.com. Go to the alternative media; it's better. This has been the Freedom Fiends. Davi will be back with me tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time.
Worms.
Worms.